Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave! Dave smells like nougat!
Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
All right, welcome to a special edition of the Chronic Podcast. It's the draft extravaganza. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You can go watch the Pelicans in the playoffs, LSU baseball. You might just watch the spring game for LSU football. Go there, watch the draft. They got 136 draft beers, a 50-foot TV. The Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us. All right, I got Andrew Juge. I got Andrew's draft guru, analyst extraordinaire, Brian Pavick of Saints Nation, and we're just going to go hardcore draft this whole podcast. If you love the draft, you're going to love this podcast. We're going to break it all down. Guys, thanks for joining us. I'll start with you, Brian, because you do like mock draft scenarios 1, 2, 3 on the Saints Nation. So you dove into this draft. I got Mike Ditalia's book, and I make that, and I watch YouTube clips, so I pretend to be an expert, but I'm not. So this draft,
I don't think there are any draft experts.
No, there's a few. So give me this draft as you look at it. The deepest position that you're like, oh my god, that position is crazy deep, and you can get a guy that is going to be an NFL starter in like round 3 or 4, even if guys go off the board at an incredible rate.
I think it's three different positions. They're kind of equally deep, just in different ways. Wide receiver isn't as deep this year as it was last year at the top, but I think the middle and the bottom of the wide receiver class are actually better than last year's. It just doesn't have as many superstars or potential superstars. The running back position, this is the best running back draft we've had in probably 4 or 5 years. There's some guys, legit first round talents. Gurley would be a top five pick if he didn't have that knee injury.
We don't draft running backs in the first round anymore. If Gurley's knee was healthy, you still think he'd be a top five guy?
Yes. I'll put it to you like this. Even in the modern era, get a time machine, bring Adrian Peterson back. He comes into this draft. Adrian Peterson's a top five pick. They don't take running backs because you can get mid upper tier talents all the way through the draft. And the Saints are like the absolute best at finding, wait, what the fuck is that guy's name? And then you see him on the film and you go, why wasn't he on any mock drafts? Like Kyrie Robinson's a perfect example of it. Kyrie could start for half of the teams in the league and be very productive. What? He can't even get any snaps on the Saints.
What's the other two positions that are deep?
The other two positions, it's wide receiver, and then I think it's offensive guard, actually. This draft has a lot of guard talent.
Yeah, they got the
going
guy.
Even into the sixth round.
Yeah, we'll talk about the guy from Hogwarts. I like him. So, Andrew, what is a position that's not – I wouldn't say – you could say weakest, but I like to think of it as there's going to be guys at every position that's going to come out of this draft usually. But what's a position where, like, if you don't pick a guy in the first or second round at that position, you're probably not going to get an NFL – starter or contributor later?
Yeah, well, real quick, I just want to say I think Brian nailed it. I couldn't agree with him more, 100%. I think the receiver class is ridiculous this year in terms of depth, and I agree. At the top, it's maybe not as top-heavy as last year, but that's why when you're the Saints, and we'll dive into this more later, but you don't necessarily want to take a receiver in the first round because you feel good that even if you don't take one right up at the top, you drop to the third round, there's still going to be guys that can help your team possibly even start. So nose tackle is another one, or defensive tackle is very deep in this draft. So that's one that I think there's a lot of good talent out there. But in terms of the positions that are not as strong, I mean, I think you take the top two quarterbacks out of the equation, and the quarterback position is god awful this year. And we've talked about we've talked about the Saints possibly taking a guy this year. You know, is this a year that the Saints maybe draft a guy and groom him underneath Drew Brees? But I think the Saints are going to have to be very careful about forcing that, because other than maybe Brett Hundley, the kid from UCLA, or maybe
Brett Hundley from
Baylor.
No, I mean, not Brett Hundley.
Yeah, nah. I mean, those guys are probably the best guys after Winston and Mariota. So really, and after that, it falls off even worse. So I think quarterback in particular is very, very poor. I think tight end is kind of weak, honestly. I mean, I think there's a lot of guys that are going to be decent, but there's no one in this class that's like even like an Eric Ebron, you know, there's just no tight end that you feel is going to be a dominant receiver. I mean, Max Williams is kind of the one guy out of Minnesota that you think could be like a starter, a quality player, maybe a Pro Bowler, but there's not any superstar tight ends in this draft, which after you lose Jimmy Graham, maybe makes you a little nervous.
Now, Brian, let's start with the positions. We'll start with the positions the Saints arguably need the most. So defensive end, defensive linemen, who do you like there, and who's going to be the guy that if I said pick me two guys that in 3 years on the defensive line position that are going to be really good, who are those guys?
Now, are we talking ends or tackles or just both?
Well, let's start at tackles. Let's start with the tackles.
Yeah, I'll start with tackles. We'll take Leonard Williams out of it. He's the best player in the draft. Just in a vacuum, it's between him and Cooper, best player in the draft, and it's not even close. We don't have a prayer. We could give up our whole draft, go full, Ricky Williams. We're still not getting it.
Yeah.
So we'll take him out of it. To me, the two guys at defensive tackle, if you want to go 2-3 years down the road and we look back and we go, that was a really good pick, it's either Danny Shelton, who looks like he eats people on film. Just eats them whole.
And he wears like dresses and skirts while he works out, which is kind of weird.
So, hey, you know, I mean, we kind of get our Kenny Stills replacement right there. But, you know, he's a little bit more of a curvy girl, so we're okay with that.
Yeah.
The other guy is Malcolm Brown. I think Malcolm Brown potentially has the highest ceiling of every defensive tackle prospect in this draft. He's a freak athlete. And he looks solid on film. Like, he can play. It's not just he's a workout warrior. The guy puts out good film. And most importantly, it's steady improvement. Because that's what you really want to see in a draft prospect. Guys who look great in college, you have to remember, they're also going against college talent. So the thing you're most looking for is the ability to improve and continue improving. That's where Malcolm Brown is shooting up draft boards, because people are going back and looking at him.
Well, Andrew, here's my question. I was watching the NFL Network, and I think it was a point that Mike Mayock made, but I thought it was really interesting. And Danny Shelton, he's a guy that I really like, because the Saints' their run defense was garbage. It got worse as the year went along. But here's my question with Danny Shelton. Is Mike Mayock said, look, if you only think he's an elite run defender, then he's not a top 15 guy. He's just a late first, early second round guy if he can't be an elite run stopper and give you pass rush. But my question is, Andrew, so what? If I told you that Danny Shelton was going to be Vince Wilfork against the run or that quality for 5 to 10 years, isn't he worth picking at 13 for the Saints if you really feel like you need to fix your interior?
Absolutely. Without question. I think when you look at these players, you really have to ask yourself, the position almost doesn't matter. Your team is better off with a difference maker than, regardless of the position he plays, than drafting for a need, getting a guy that's mediocre or average, but he's filling that need for you. You're better off having it's the old adage that you're better off having five good receivers than two good receivers and two average linebackers, for example. So
yeah.
When you have a chance
we've
to
tried
draft
that.
Yeah, yeah. When you have a chance to draft a superstar, you take it. And I mean, for me, Shelton is just one of those guys that there's not a lot of guys in this draft that you can look at and say he's a pretty surefire bet. And for me, you remember this, Ralph. I was really hoping that Starlo Tulele would fall to the Saints. He ends up going one pick ahead of them to the Panthers. I was crushed. But that was a guy I felt this way about. He goes to the Panthers, and the impact that he's made on that defense the last 2 years has been significant. For me, Danny Shelton is a guy just like that, even more dominant than Lotulelei against the run. And as bad as the Saints have been at stopping the run, he is just that nose plug. And really, if you're going to do a 3-4 right, it all starts with that guy up front. And Shelton can absolutely be that guy for the Saints.
Brian, at end, what's the guy that most intrigues you? And what's the guy that scares the crap out of you?
And by the way, is a position that I think is also very weak in this draft.
Yeah. My question on that, just to clarify, are we talking 4-3 end/3-4 outside linebacker hybrid types because we run a hybrid scheme, or are we talking 3-4 ends like Cameron Jordan, like Akeem Hicks?
Well, let's start there. Let's start 3-4. Let's start with the hybrid, because I feel like that would be the pick that that people think the Saints may lean if they were going to pick.
Okay. It might just be me personally, but I actually, before the podcast, I went and rewatched all the film I had on him just to make sure that I felt confident in my opinion. I think Alvin Dupree, Bud Dupree out of Kentucky, has the highest ceiling of any defensive player in this draft, period. But beyond that, he's the best outside linebacker prospect because he's actually an outside linebacker. He shows he can cover on tape. He shows flashes of good technique, so it's not just raw athleticism. I think his biggest issue was coaching. I don't think he had good coaching. His inconsistency, the way he showed it, it screams coaching to me.
Andrew.
The guy I don't want is Shane Ray. Only because we run a hybrid, because he cannot play outside linebacker. If we were 4-3, I want Shane Ray. He can rush the passer, but he can't stop the run, and he can't move laterally.
Andrew, Dupree scares the crap out of me, and this is why. Nothing since Sean Payton has arrived gives me any confidence that the Saints know how to make linebackers better.
Yeah, and you look at who's the coach. It's Joe Vitt. That would be the guy that's developing him, and he doesn't have a very good track. I love Joe Vitt. I love that he's on the staff. But
didn't we bring in another new guy for outside linebacker or for the linebacker and coaches too in the offseason?
Yeah,
we brought in a second guy.
That's true. I don't know his history. Hopefully it would be an improvement.
It would be hard to be worse.
Yep. But I agree with Brian. I think Dupree's ceiling is very high. I think 13 is a little early to pick him. I think if the Saints were to trade back, get some extra picks, and then take him at 16 or 17, that level feels a little bit better for me. But I think 13 is a little high for Dupree, just because while his ceiling is ridiculously high, and Brian's absolutely right about that, he's not 100% polished, and so you're never really sure with guys like that. Are they? Is it going to be another guy like your boy from the Dolphins? You know, or Deion Jordan? Doesn't pan out.
Here's a name that Brian may not. He may recognize the name, but he may not have been watching film on him back in the day. And this is the guy that I think of when I think of Buddy Dupree, is Vernon Golston for the Jets.
Oh, of course, yeah.
They were like, oh, he was so good at Ohio State. He had body. He's everything you want. And dude was horrible. And that's what pops in my head when I see Dupree.
I mean, I've been very vocal about this. My dream scenario is Vic Beasley. I think if he falls to 13,
hallelujah.
You know, he's just the complete package. I mean, you just heard Brian talk about Dupree being able to play outside linebacker. Beasley is a guy that comes to you for minute one, knows the position, can play it, can play against the run, can cover, is a dominant, terrifying pass rusher. And I think the Saints immediately have a guy that's not only going to come in and replace Junior Gallette, but basically turn Junior Gallette into a pass rush only specialist, which is what he should be.
Well, and it's I think he'll thrive in that role too. I think Justin Houston is actually not by talent, but by style is somewhat similar to Junior, and he's mostly a third down guy. And you saw what he did last year.
Yeah.
Junior's problem is outside of off the field. I'm pretty sure I've had farts that are smarter than Junior Gallet, but on the field, he can't handle the read option most of the time, and he's just god awful against the run. But he does have a high motor, and he can really get to the quarterback. Put him just on third down most of the time, and Junior's going to be a double sack guy for a while.
I mean, they pay Junior for sacks. That's what they did, and he got them sacks. Junior, he's a crazy person, and he's got one skill, and it's elite. You know, here's my question though, and Andrew, I'll start with you. Who are guys if the Saints, if they say they would go, you know, not draft a pass rusher and outside linebacker with one of the first two picks of the first round, who's a guy in the second round that Saints fans should start looking at as a guy that could possibly be there late in the second, or maybe, you know, maybe they finesse stuff and they trade up and move around in that second to early third round that you need to keep in mind for pass rushers?
Yeah, I mean, I think if they pass early, you know, and Eli Harold's a guy that's kind of all over the place. I mean, he's a guy that some drafts have going in the early first round. Some have him dropping, and maybe he'll be available around that second round level for the Saints. But yeah, I think if he's still around later in the draft, I watched him play at UVA. His problem is he's just slight of frame, you know, and he's a poor man's Barkevious Mingo. Yeah. But if he can add some weight, he was a very disruptive guy, and he's just so quick around the edge. He's a guy that could come in, you know, specifically as a pass rushing only specialist. And if that was his only role on the team, coming in on third down, I think he could do that very well for any NFL team. So that's a guy I'd take a look at. And you know, another guy I'll throw out there, Danielle Hunter, you know, of LSU. I just, again, he's kind of a hybrid guy. We don't really know where his place is in terms of because of his body, and he just hasn't grown into it. But I think that's another guy that, you know, either he needs to get a little bigger and be a defensive end, or maybe he can play outside linebacker, but he'd be a real liability in coverage and that sort of thing.
A guy and I'm just saying this because I saw him on a couple of games for Oregon, but I know, Brian, you're out that way. Arik Armstead, just on some highlights, some games.
No.
No?
you just ask about players that scare you.
Yeah.
I am terrified the Saints might take him.
Oh yeah.
He's the kind of guy, like his measurables, his relative size. If we're talking basketball, I love a guy with that big thick frame. But football, 6'7" for a defensive tackle. The thing with line play is it's all about leverage. There's the saying, lowest man wins. He's not getting lower than anybody without falling over. and also he can be absolutely dominant at times, but he also gets dominated.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, I have this personal favorite phrase for prospects. I call certain guys coin flip guys. And it's not necessarily, you know, boom or bust, but it's an either or. Armstead's either going to be a Pro Bowler or he's going to be out of the league in 2 years. He's going to make Deion Jordan look like a really smart draft pick.
And that's the thing.
His range is that wide.
And the thing about coin flip guys is you look at these mock drafts. Some mocks have him going third overall, and others have him barely in the first round. And those are the guys that should make you nervous. When you look at these mock drafts, when you look at ESPN and NFL.com and all these rating sites, and it's all over the place, and there's not really a consensus, that is, to me, usually a warning sign that no one's really figured this guy out. And usually that's a sign that they could be awesome, but more likely than not, there'll be a bust.
Inside linebacker, Brian, who do you like? I feel like the Saints, I know history says they haven't done something there. They don't draft a lot, but I feel like they're gonna have to take some swings at linebacker again because the guys they picked last year didn't pan out. Who at inside linebacker do you really like that would be potential in that at 31 or second or third round guys. Yes. Inside
31 or 44. In my opinion, we need to take at least one inside linebacker at either or maybe both 31 and 44, depending on who's there and what we get before. Mm-hmm. I think the top inside linebacker in the draft is still Eric Kendricks. He just put out the best tape all the way throughout college, and you love his consistency. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of fluctuation with his game,
but he's a four down guy.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be gone at 31. If he's even there at 27, moving from 31 to 27 is going to cost you maybe one of your third rounders, but you can probably get away with like a fifth rounder to just move those couple of spots at the end of the first. You do it.
Mike Dettillier has him at 37.
Oh, then I if he's there at 31, you take him and you smile. You skip to the podium. If he's not there, Stephon Anthony out of Clemson, I love what Stephon Anthony brings to the table. Very smart player.
He's not slow.
Fantastic motor.
He's not slow.
No, he's not slow. He can move. He's like the anti-Lofton.
Yeah, here's
or Hawthorne.
And that's one of the things where, you know, and we'll get to the offensive line in a little bit, but that's one of the things that Sean Payton that just burned in my brain, that one of the things that he said at the owner meeting, he's like, we got to get faster from side to side on defense. We got to get faster to the ball. Andrew, at corner, where do you think the Saints are feeling as far as the need for the corner? And who do you really like in this draft?
Look, man, I know Brian's not a huge fan of this, but I still
knew it was coming.
Yeah, I still just think Trey Waynes is the best corner hands down in this draft. And corner's tough. I mean, we've all agreed on this, and we all know that it's the toughest position to develop. And so there's not a lot of guys that are going to come in year one and make an impact and be able to start without some growing pains. And so ideally you develop these guys as time goes on. The good news about this draft in terms of the corners that are out there is there's a lot of guys. And I think there's a lot of guys that you could develop. The Saints are in a better situation right now than they have been in a while. I mean, really since Jabari Greer got hurt. And that's having two starters that allow you to kind of groom the guys behind them. You have Keenan Lewis and Brandon Brown are now two guys that are going to hold it down. And I really do think they'll do a good job as long as there's no injuries. But I just still think you need that number three guy, especially in a league that you're seeing three and four receiver sets way more often than you're seeing anything else. You need three corners. You need four corners. And if a guy, God forbid, a guy goes down, you need six corners, you know, on your roster to be able to deal with Aaron Rodgers and his four receiver sets. And if you want to win games, I mean, go back and I was watching the 2009 season, the Saints DVD this weekend with my son. And the one thing I noticed was, my God, that secondary was awesome. Tracy Porter, Jabari Greer, I mean, they're just constantly coming up with picks. You know, Randall Gay was a serviceable nickel guy, and then Mike McKenzie comes in out of nowhere, and he's getting picks. And Darren Sharper is the free safety, had like double-digit picks on the year. So we need more guys getting their hands on the ball and being good in coverage. So for me, Waynes is great. If you drop to lower, Jalen Collins out of LSU, he's big, you know, and we know the Saints like corners with size.
Yeah. And he faced good competition. Collins looked really strong against Cooper when he faced him, and that matters more. Part of why Waynes looked so good on film, and I'll keep this brief because I could probably do a whole podcast based on why I don't want Waynes. It's just personal opinion, but Waynes didn't play anybody. And then he also played behind a lot of guys. But
yeah, and corners.
My issue with Waynes isn't that he's a bad player. I don't think he's a bad player. All right, so Trey Waynes is to me, he's on a very short list of moves that if the Saints draft him at 13, I'm going to throw my remote at my TV. and it's not just, I don't think he can play the game, because I think he can. His value at 13 relative to the other prospects, based on, you know, there's only 12 people above us, and I see 15 guys that are worth taking at 13, and he's not on that list. So there's going to be somebody that brings more value relative to what we have and to what we can get later. Because we can get slot corners later.
Yeah. Here's the
He's not worth it at 13.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Because, like, if you look at – it's kind of the same argument I made about receiver. Don't feel like you got to take one at 13 or 31 because there's so many. You can get a good one later. Focus on the positions that you have a superstar at the top that you're not going to be able to fill later.
Yeah, and here's the
same
thing
argument.
Here's the thing that I always remember Mike Dettillier telling me about Graydon Pleasant. He said, well, the easiest players to grade are like guards and tackles because they do something every play if you're a guard or a tackle. He said corner is so difficult because a lot of times in college, especially late in their sophomore or junior year, teams will be like, oh, that's a good corner. We're not throwing at him. So his tape isn't worthwhile. You know, and he says sometimes you know it because it's like it's Dion or it's Patrick Peterson or whoever, you know it. But a lot of times you don't. It's like Alex Molden. He was an okay NFL corner, but he wasn't worthy of a first round pick. So it becomes really hard to grade corners. So that kind of is there any other thoughts that you guys have? And I'll start with you, Andrew, on defense that you want to get across as players that you're interested in or just overall thoughts on the defensive class?
Well, minimum, the Saints need to get three guys out of those first five picks in the first three rounds. Ideally, they go four out of five defense. And if they're going to try to fix this defense, if they're going to try to get players that are going to improve this roster – especially that side of the ball, it has to be the focus. And so if you get a guard or you get a receiver in the first three rounds, great. I want minimum three defensive guys, preferably four. And so now, you know, you ask what positions are those? Ideally, you know, I think the secondary right now maybe feels a little bit better than it has been. I think it starts up front. I still think pass rush, stopping the run, those are all things that are going to make your secondary look better. And I think in large part, the Saints have gone a long way towards fixing their secondary with Bro, Wilson, Browner. You know, hopefully Jairus Byrd comes back and he's healthy. And so that's they've got a lot of safeties on this roster if they can stay healthy. So for me, it's got to be linebacker. It's got to be pass rush. It's got to be the interior.
Yeah.
If you can walk away after these five picks with, I'm just throwing this out there, Danny Shelton, Stephon Anthony, and
Nate Orchard. He might be there at 44.
Sure, sure. You know, just like a solid – or the guy from UCLA who would be another great name for Ralph to pronounce.
Yeah, it would be.
Oumagbe.
Something like that.
Ogizua.
Or how about Efa Akapur Alamalu from Oregon? That'd be another.
Oh, yeah, that's another guy. Yeah, for sure. But anyway, a combination of that where you're pretty sure that the three of them can help you out immediately, and maybe one doesn't pan out, but two out of three are hits and they're starters, they're contributing. Yeah. That's what needs to happen in this draft for the Saints to get competitive. Because let's be honest, guys. The Saints have a lot of holes in their roster right
now. Yeah, they do. Brian, give me your thoughts on offensive line, because we'll go to the offensive side. Give me thoughts on offensive linemen at guard or tackle that you really, really like.
All right. So first name I'll throw out, partially because I know you are the acting chairman of the fan club. I do really like Lyle Collins. I think he's a good pick at 13. It depends on what else is there because I'd rather get a defender. The only thing with Lyle that worries me a little bit is I'm not a huge fan of his pass protection. Now, some of that could just be because LSU couldn't pass the ball. And when you have no confidence in your quarterback, it does affect your blocking and it affects the whole line. So we really won't know until he gets into the league. But it's a little ding on him that makes me go, maybe not at 13. But if they take him, I'm fine with it. I have no issue with the pick. He's not at the top of my board. The reason I don't go guard there though is in particular the guy. There's two guys I really like. One of which should be there in the third round. There's Lincoln Tomlinson out of Duke. He's not a super athlete, but if you look around the league of the best offensive lines, most of them aren't super athletes.
Yeah,
they're super skilled.
Detailier's got him going 40 to the Giants.
And it could happen. But if he's there in the third, I take him because he can really play. The other guy is the guy you wanted to talk about, Ali Marpet. If you're looking at the measurables, he's not Carl Nix category because Carl Nix isn't human as far as just his physical ability was. And more than that, his mentality. He was so mean and nasty on the line, and you really need that, especially to run. But Marpet isn't that far off from it, just from the measurable. And even though he faced lower competition, he went to the Senior Bowl and he dominated Shelton in the Senior Bowl when they were, you know, when they were in practice and running drills. He was dominating the guy who's supposed to be the best defensive tackle in the draft. That tells you something. It's not too big for him. So if at guard, either of those two guys, I'm really happy with it. There's also, you know, Jackson out of Florida State, AJ Khan, we might take at 31 if he's there. It's a deep draft for guard. For tackle, there's some good players. I don't think there's any game changers. I think Lel would be the only guy you could really use as a swing player. Start him at guard and move him to tackle later.
Andrew, who sticks out? A two-part question. Who sticks out that you really like on the offensive line? And if the Saints don't do anything in the first three rounds, let's say, on offensive line, are you okay with it?
So first things first, I think at 13, you have to seriously consider an offensive lineman. And I just told you that I want three out of the five picks, if not four out of the five, to be defense. But I think at 13, if Brandon Scherff or Lael Collins, either of those guys, is there at 13, you have to seriously consider it.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, Ralph. My main reason for saying this is it's a two birds with one stone issue. Because I think the Saints' depth at tackle is so bad. You know,
It's not bad, Andrew. They don't have any.
Yeah, it's Bryce Harris is basically
minus. Ralph would make a better right tackle than Bryce Harris.
Exactly. And so now you have Teron Armstead, you have Zach Strief, guys that you like, guys that are good players, but they've both had injury history in the last 2 years. They've both missed games. And so for me, this is a two bird with one stone because Scherff and Lael Collins have that mean, nasty, physical streak that they can start at left guard. They can come in year one and play left guard and start for the Saints.
Yeah.
And if a tackle goes down, no problem. You plug Lolito in at guard. He's got starting experience
or
there.
Calumet.
He's done okay. Or Calumet. You can put either of those guys at guard. You feel better about your depth on the interior.
Yeah.
And you rotate the rookie out to tackle. And I think that, for me, it's a two-bird with one stone. It fills two needs that – is why, for me, you have to really consider that at 13. There's just not many guys in this draft beyond those two players that can patch you at both spots.
And this is what I'm going to say, and I predicted it. I'm going to write it in my Channel 4 column, which will probably go up Monday of draft week. And I feel really good about Lael Collins' pick because Sean Payton, in the owners' meeting, said the most important thing is the 2 yards in front of Drew Brees. We have to win that. We win the game.
I think
him saying that means the Saints, I think they're going to get offensive linemen. I think it might even be a scenario, Brian, where it'll drive our friend and podcast regular Kevin Held insane. But I think they might move to get one of the linemen. I really think they might move from 13 to 10 or 9 to make sure they get one of them. That's how strongly I feel that they're gonna take a lineman at 13.
Now, Ralph, quick question: assuming they take a tackle at 13, one of these two guys, are you saying they're going gangbusters defense at after that pick at the expense of getting a playmaker for Brees?
I would say probably of the of the next, let's see, they have the 2/3 and the 2/5 and the and they would have so they would have six more picks in the first five rounds. I would say they probably go five on defense, and they might go one tight end or receiver in the rest of those that batch of picks.
Mm-hmm. My money would be on Devin Smith out of Ohio State or Walford out of Miami, which would be ironic considering we lose Jimmy and then we get a tight end out of Miami who has similar measurables, but is actually his best attribute is his blocking.
Yeah. Before we get to
Tyler Lockett's another guy that could be a nice replacement for Stills later in the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's a guy before we get to draft scenarios and I throw out and we get to a bunch of Twitter questions that people have. Is there anything else as far as specific positions that I haven't touched on that guys that you want to bring up that you really, really like or don't want the Saints to pick? And it can be anything that I miss that you just are dying to get out there. Andrew, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about this before, but for me, Randy Gregory, I mean, any of these red flag guys, but Randy Gregory for me is the one that I really don't want to mess with. And I've said this before, a lot of people don't have issue with his marijuana thing. And I get it. Like a lot of us don't feel like weed is a big deal.
Yeah, but that's a different topic though.
It's a different topic. This isn't about personal use or if it's a big deal and if should it be legalized. I'm talking specific to the NFL. First of all, ask Josh Gordon if it's a big deal or not, because we all know how it's played out for him.
No, you can't ask Josh Gordon. You smoke so much weed, he can't remember.
Yeah, he can't remember. But clearly for me, Randy Gregory is a guy that he couldn't turn it off before the combine. He literally couldn't pass a combine test when he knew that it was like that three-day window he just had to lay off.
And he
couldn't do it.
And that's basically the "are you stupid" test that the NFL gives you. They're like, "We're going to drug test you at the combine. Are you stupid?" And and Randy Gregory, he checked, "Yes, I'm stupid." So yep.
I think when you see that, for me, it's pretty clear the guy has a problem.
He's born to be a Redskin.
If you're not able to turn it off for 3 days, you have a problem.
I don't think he'll be there. He's born. He was born to be a Redskin.
He really is a Snyder pick.
He is. So
they'll change the logo. They'll still have the Redskins. They won't change the name, but they'll add a blunt to the mouth. You have to let it go at home.
Brian, is there anything that we have when we went through all the positions on offense and defense? Any guys that you just want to bring up specifically, good or bad? Feelings that you have about it.
There's one guy that Andrew knows that I'm really high on. Shaq Thompson out of Washington. I don't think he's a good pick at 13. Just because of value, if they moved down into the mid 20s and picked up another pick or something, I'd look at him.
He could be there at 31.
I was just about to say, if he drops to 31, I want you to think of this. Kenny Vaccaro is basically a strong safety who really plays more like a linebacker. Shaq Thompson is a pure linebacker with similar coverage skills to a safety or corner.
Fun.
Give Rob Ryan both of those toys, it's scary.
Fun exercise. Mike Dettillier has Stephon Anthony going 44 to the Saints. He has Shaq Thompson going 45. If you can only kick one of them, who do you pick?
I take Anthony. More sure prospect. Thompson has a higher ceiling, and he's a playmaker. If other parts in our linebacking core were secure, I take Thompson because he's a flat-out playmaker. Anthony's the better linebacker, and I think it's Barry Hurstius from Big Easy Believer and a few other guys have been ranting about this all offseason. I firmly believe the Saints had the worst linebacking core in the NFL last year. We need linebackers. They're the core of your defense. We don't have any that – are beyond okay. He wasn't awful today. Yay!
Come on, you don't like Ellerbe?
Cricket.
Well, I think Ralph said it best.
Now we're gonna get into the fun part where I'm gonna throw out a couple scenarios before we get to Twitter questions. So I'm gonna start with this scenario: the Saints are on the clock at 13, Andrew, and Amari Cooper is there.
No, God.
And?
He's not getting past four.
And There is Danny Shelton is there. Who do you take?
Yeah, I hate this. Or I got to go Cooper. I just think a talent of that level, if it drops to you and you have an opportunity to give Breeze a toy like that, I mean, you wouldn't miss the loss of Jimmy Graham. It would atone for it in 2 seconds. And we'd get
a better player.
You have to take – when you get guys of that level, like a Julio Jones type level, you know, he would come in year one and potentially produce like Odell Beckham did.
Brian, is there any scenario where Amari Cooper would be there when the Saints pick? Is there any scenario where you'd be like, they shouldn't pick him?
Yeah, only one, if Leonard Williams is there. I said at the beginning, the top two players in this draft are Leonard Williams and Amari Cooper.
Leonard Williams could murder somebody between now and the draft, and he's not going to be there at 13. I don't think.
I'm dead serious. Cooper isn't making it to 13. No way in hell. The draft Knicks can run their mouths all they want. The Raiders are taking him at 4 unless Leonard Williams drop. You can book that. Andrew can change my Twitter pick again if he wants. If he doesn't go at 4,
Brian, I think there's no way the Raiders consider Kevin White over him.
No way in hell.
Here's the one thing
they watch film.
I think I agree.
Cooper fits Carr's skill set better than White. White's a better playmaker. Cooper's a better receiver. Oakland's trying to build a contender.
They went out to Clemson. They sent like the GM, the linebacker coach, and the coordinator out to Clemson to watch Vic Beasley work out. So, I mean, maybe. But we'll see.
Yeah, we sent half our staff to LSU. That doesn't mean we're going to take Jalen Collins at 31.
No. Okay. So, Brian, here's another scenario. At 13, you've got Shelton or you have Shreve. Or let me say Shreve or Bud Dupree at 13.
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
Only because it's me, and he's at the top of my board. He's basically my dream pick for this team. I take Bud Dupree. But if they take Scherf, I'm certainly not mad about it. But I take Bud. I like his motor. He has high marks for character, big-time leader.
Who's getting out of their car?
And the check marks I would make for a prospect. So I want the Bud Dupree because I think.
Ooh, we just lost Brian, I think. Andrew, you there? Is anybody there? Is anybody there at all?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So we lost Brian. He'll be back. I'm going to start with you, Andrew, as we do these draft scenarios. We've done enough. I mean, I think it's interesting. I'm not even going to try to get into draft scenarios at 31. But here's a scenario that I want you to discuss for people. Is as they're watching the draft, as it goes along and these picks are coming off, as a Saint fan, because we do these mock drafts, but there's going to be at least one team or there's going to be at least two picks in the top 10 where people go,
what? Oh,
what? They did what? That's why Jacksonville's still terrible. That's why the Raiders are the Raiders. Like, it's going to happen. So,
can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Brian. So, Andrew, of the scenario of those of the crazy, unexpected picks that are going to happen in the top 10, what are the picks that have to happen where Saints fans will be like, hell yeah, that just happened, high five?
Well, I think first and foremost, you want the two quarterbacks to go in before the Saints pick because it just drops the rest of the talent. So I think you really have to hope for that. Number two, if we're really hoping for defense, I think you really want three receivers to go before the Saints pick, and I think that could happen. You know, I think Cooper and White are probably both gone. Mm-hmm. Devontae Parker is another one that I think could go before 13. And so, you know, I think you want these offensive players to push the board down. I mean, if you're asking me what's my big hope, is that a guy like Arik Armstead, you know, who some people have him going crazy high.
Oh, please let Atlanta take him.
Yeah, if Atlanta were to take Arik Armstead, or if someone were to not care about Randy Gregory's issues and take him anyway, in the top 10, then I see a scenario where the Saints are picking at 13 and they're staring at Lael Collins, maybe even Brandon Scherff too, Bud Dupree, Danny Shelton, and basically having their pick of their litter, and Trey Waynes too, and just having all of those guys available. I told you my dream scenario is still for Vic Beasley to fall, but if those other scenarios I told you about happen, the Saints are going to have a pick from about five different dudes that I think I would be really psyched to get.
Brian, what's the opposite of that? What's the scenario as a Saint fan and you're watching, you're like, I can't believe this is happening. All the players we want are gone. What scenario where they pick at 13 and it's not as appetizing as the one Andrew just laid out?
I really don't think, as long as the Saints don't move up and reach and take a bad player, because those two quarterbacks are there and at least one of them is going to go, I actually don't think there's a scenario where the Saints don't have at least one good option at 13. There's some, there's less appetizing options. Like, worst case scenario, you're left with, Trey Waynes and Randy Gregory are the guys at the top of your board, and they're the only two left at 13. In which case, I have to bite the bullet, and I say Trey Waynes, or Kevin's birthday comes early, and we trade down. And he, instead of wrestling, he actually skips around the ring like he's AJ Lee. By the way, give him that reference and he'll throw something at me, but he'll laugh. I think there's 15 players in this draft that are worth taking for the Saints, and so I don't see there being a doomsday at 13, but there's definitely
Brian, who so tell me, who are the bottom three guys on your board that you see as like worst case scenario that this is who they'd have to choose from?
At 15, and I don't have my whole board in front of me, but off the head, it's I have Waynes at 15 just because of value. I think I've said enough about him. I have Randy Gregory at 14 because he's an idiot. Because on the film, I think he's the second best outside linebacker in the draft, especially as a pass rusher. But
he's a beast. Yeah.
Yeah. He physically he can play.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a dumbass, so not really wanting him. And then I have Devontae Parker. I think he can play, and if the Saints take him, I reserve my rage until I see him in preseason, because he has the ability to be a game breaker for the Saints, especially in our offense. He's a really nice scheme fit. But I want to see him out on the field, because he could also be a guy where we go, yay, another Meacham, damn it.
Well, but that scenario that Brian just laid out is a doomsday scenario. I mean, you still could get a good player out of it, and it's not awful, but like that for me would be the worst case scenario, is that you're left picking between Devontae Parker, Trey Waynes, and Randy Gregory, and like no one else that you pick would be good value at 13. That would be a tough pill to swallow, because I have such high hopes for some of these other guys falling.
The good news is
I think the New York Giants are going to take one of those three guys. I think the Giants are either going to take Scherff, or they're going to take Trey Waynes, because their secondary is kind of or they're looking heavy at guards to protect Eli Manning, because it's really hard to get Beckham the ball or Cruz the ball when you're on your ass.
Yeah. So now we got some fun Twitter questions. So this is from Adam Fauché. Who, and Andrew, you can take this one. Who is the draft process prospect most likely to fall or rise in the first round?
That's a good question. I think the guy most likely to fall is probably Shane Ray, just because he's kind of a, I don't want to say a one-trick pony, but he's got to be a right fit for the right scheme. He's a terrifying pass rusher, but I just think it's one of those things where if you're not able to fit into a lot of different schemes, you're going to drop. So I think that's a guy that could drop for sure. I mean, I think Dupree is a real fast riser right now. I think a lot of people are high on him, and I think as time and time goes on, I think people start to view him as less and less of a risk and more of a polished guy that can come in and maybe even contribute year one.
Brian, who's your riser and faller?
I'd say probably my faller. I think I agree with Andrew. I think it's Shane Ray, especially after people watch tape and they really see Shane Ray has an incredible first step and he's very strong in his upper body. But when he doesn't win, when offensive linemen get their hands on him, he's done. I mean, done. He's out of the play. The play is over. And when they run at him, he gets destroyed pretty frequently. I saw South Carolina wreck him, and they weren't particularly impressive last year. So I could see Ray dropping. The guy, the rising, I think we've already talked about him. I think there's a good shot that, you know, Eric Armstead, you know, maybe ends up as a top 10, top 15 pick, and he doesn't necessarily have that value.
I'm going to give you guys a name, and you're going to think I'm insane. But I think Todd Gurley is going to go in the top 10.
I would be thrilled.
I think some team.
That's the Christmas come early scenario.
I think some team is going to take like I could see. Well, now that I look at it, maybe not.
Does Carolina pick before us?
No.
Good.
No, if he
went there, I'd be concerned.
No, now that I'm looking at the teams, I don't. I was thinking maybe if Minnesota was decided to move on from Peterson, but now I changed my mind. The other guy I think has a potential to get really high. I think Randy Gregory's tape is going to win all, and he's going to go in the top 8. And you can slide out whoever you want, Kevin White or Vic Beasley in mock drafts. But I just think some team is going to look at that tape for Gregory and they're going to go, I don't care about the pot. Look at the tape.
One guy we haven't talked about that's a riser is Dante Fowler. I mean, literally early in the process, you looked at him as a guy that a lot of mocks had the Saints taking him at 13. And there's just no way he's going to be available there now because he owned the combine. Yep.
Yeah.
His underwear game was on point. Because I call the combine the underwear Olympics. So, you know, I mean, he, you know, Nutty Professor, spandex, all spandex. That's his game. He's got good film too.
Here's another one from Will Irwin. If we draft Ray in the first, would throwing myself in front of a bus be too strong of a response?
Not by week 8, potentially.
I'm not as down on Ray as Brian is. I still think you need an insurance. It's too close to Junior Gallette for me. But if you ship Junior Gallette out in a year and he becomes his replacement – it could work. It's less of a disaster for me because I'm intrigued by his pass rushing skills.
Here's my theory.
But I wouldn't be psyched.
Here's my theory.
Ooh, real quick, and I'm sorry to overcut you, Ralph, but I gotta go in about 2 minutes. So here's a podcast question for you guys. Talking about that, what about a draft day trade involving Junior? Like we get past pick 13, and someone right after us wanted a pass rusher, and they're all gone, and we offer them Junior Gallette for their first round pick.
How does that
I'm not entirely sure that some of the there's not some teams that might not go for that.
Maybe, but Andrew, how does it grenade the Saints cap?
Yeah, I mean, basically they'd have, I think it's like a $10 or $12 million hit in dead money. So there's really no way they can trade him this year. I don't know the rules well enough to know if they can like make a trade and signify it after June 1st. You know, if there's a way for Mickey Loomis to like tweak it to where it's not official till after June 1st, and then it could work.
Brian, since you got a bail, give me your prediction for Saints at 13 and 31.
Okay, at 13, I'm sticking with my guy. I think they take Bud Dupree. And at 31, I think it's Stephon Anthony. And I think that one or both of them end up at the end of the year in the conversation for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Brian.
Love it.
No.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Yeah, right, thanks, man.
All right, so we're gonna finish this up, Andrew, with just a couple of other draft questions. Okay, odds odds the Saints trade up to, say, 7 to beat Atlanta to Beasley or Dupree. That's a good one. That's from Alfredo. It would drive hell crazy.
But yeah, Saints, it would.
The Saints' history is when we want a player, we get him.
Yeah, you can't rule it out. And for me, I don't think there's any way they're trading up for Dupree. I think Dupree is arguably too high at 13 for me. So I think you stand pat if that's your guy. I don't think you reach for Dupree because I don't think he's going to go in the top 12. I could be wrong. But Beasley for sure. If you want Beasley and that's their guy, there's a chance he could fall to 13, but I think it's a slim one. So you have to go up there and get him.
Here's an interesting. Yeah, here's an interesting question from Mike Jones. If you had to do one of these scenarios, so you have to do one of them, mm-hmm. you either have to trade up for Amari Cooper or trade down from 13, but you have to take Green Beckham at 31. Which one do you do?
I trade up. I just think Green Beckham is – we've talked about this. You know, the Saints locker room is fragile right now. They're in the middle of some a lot of roster turnover.
He hadn't played in a year.
He hasn't played in a year. You're basically asking me if I want a sure thing, as close as there is to a sure thing in Cooper, or a complete question mark, but you get more guys. I know that Cooper is going to be a Pro Bowler.
Here's the thing. I think Green Beckham's going to plummet on draft day. That's just my opinion. I think him not playing for a year combined with his off-field stuff, he is going to fall like a rock.
He might be a third or fourth round still out there.
Here's the thing, though. With the second, third round pick or the fourth round or, God forbid, one of the fifth round picks, knock yourself out, Saints, if you want to take him then. Because then, it's like we talked about earlier, then the value of it, Andrew, is they've drafted guys in the fourth round, Pittman, Fort, that they don't even make the team and cut. So if they want to roll the dice with him then, that's fine. But yeah. not in the first – I would say not in the first – they can only start thinking about him with the second, third round pick.
The thing is, when you're evaluating these guys, you basically have a cloud, you know, and I think that's what Sean Payton calls it. And so when you get down to your pick, you've got about three or four guys on your board and you're like, man, we really like these four. So which one are we going to pick? And if Green Beckham is in that range, the Saints have in the back of their mind, there's so many good receivers in this draft and we could take one that has good character and that fits our locker room. So, you know, if they're evaluating four guys, why are they going to take a guy that's a character concern when it's a deep position?
Yeah. And I wanted to say this about Shane Ray, as you mentioned a guy that could drop. My theory on Shane Ray is they've had a lot of Missouri guys go in the draft in the last couple years on the line. And Michael Sam was SEC Defensive Player of the Year. My theory is, a lot of their success, mostly, and in fact, almost all of Michael Sam's success was due to Shane Ray being awesome. And I don't care that he can't stop the run and he's a one-trick pony. If he plummets and you can get him at 31 or you get him at 44, Andrew, I'm taking him. And I don't care if he has to split snaps with Junior Gallette, because he has a skill that is not good. It is elite at getting to the quarterback. And if that translates to the NFL and you get him at 31 or 44, that's a home run. So
yeah, I mean, it's a similar argument to Shelton. It's almost like if he's not going to get you more than 5 sacks a year, does it really matter if your opponent's yards per carry goes down from, I'm making this up, I don't know what the Saints gave up in yards per carry last year, but it goes down from 5.4 per carry, because that's what it felt like, to 4.0. You shave over a yard per carry off of the average for your opponent. I don't care if he's only getting 3 sacks a year. It's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and it's the same argument.
Yeah. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name, but here's the one. First three picks, choose between Parker, the defensive end from UCLA and Anthony, or Dupree, Kendricks, and Walford? Who do you got?
All right, one more time. What were the three?
Parker, the defensive end from UCLA,
right,
or Anthony, or you can have Dupree, Kendricks, and Walford.
Man, that's tough. I think I go number two because I just think Kendricks and Dupree is a linebacking tandem that Parker, I like Devontae Parker, but I just, again, I think there's a receiver they can get later that will help them. And I just think right now they got to fix the defense.
He couldn't put up 1,000 yards with Teddy Bridgewater as his quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of it. But I just think we've talked about how bad this linebacking core is. And you get two guys that can come in and start in Dupree and Kendricks. And I almost don't care who they get as a third guy.
Yeah. I think, you know, thanks to everybody. One last question. This is from Joe Valente. What are the guys the Saints most likely to trade up for?
I don't know that they trade up out of 13. Call me crazy, Ralph, but I just keep kind of going back to that Tampa game in the back of my mind. And they were dead to rights in that game. And yeah, Tampa quit and they pulled all their good players. But if the Saints really wanted to lose that game, they could have. I mean, Tampa had it won. So if you really wanted to draft higher than you're drafting right now,
should have tanked better.
Then why didn't you just tank the game? You know, because so
that would have been the highest of high comedy, though, because Tampa was trying to tank and the Saints would have been trying to tank. It would have been just, you know, like if the Saints are like, how far would Sean Payton have taken? Would he like pull Brees and put in Griffin? Would like Tampa only play seven guys on defense? Like what level would they? That would have been fantastic.
They would have, because, you know, he would have told Brees, look, just throw up instead of the touchdown pass to Colston. He would have said, look, just throw a pick. And so he probably would have hit a defender in the chest and the numbers on three consecutive passes, and they would have just like dropped it intentionally or tried to tip it to one of the Saints receivers.
Because what Lovie Smith did in tanking that game is a masterclass. Like
it really was.
That's a 5,000 level college course on how to tank a football game. Yeah. Like it was brilliant in every way.
Throw the ball one time
in the second half.
Throw one pass.
Yeah.
But I think. Who do the Saints trade up for? I mean, I don't see it happening at 13, like moving up from 13. It could happen later, absolutely.
Yeah. The only thing I could see is if, let's say, in the mock draft, like Mike Dettillier, he has the Raiders picking Kevin White at 4. So let's say that happens. And let's say the Bears at 7 don't take Amari Cooper. And let's say Amari Cooper gets to number 9 with the Giants. Then I think the Saints, if Amari Cooper is like the number 1 guy on their board or number 2, I think then they make a call to the Giants and they say, look, how about a third round pick to get us from 13 to 9? And I think that would be a possible. I don't know that would be enough. I think it could be. But I think if Amari Cooper falls to 9 or 10, which is not likely to happen, but if that would happen, Andrew, then I think the Saints get a little itchy.
Yeah.
You know?
We haven't mentioned Max Williams much, the tight end, but you know, I think I like Josh Hill and I think he's the guy, but Ben Watson probably only has a year left. Really that those are the two tight ends they have, so they need more.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised to see Max Williams end up on the Saints if he falls to the third round. They'll probably take him.
Well, Mike's got him going first to 30 to Green Bay overall, but I could see him being a guy at 44. Like if the Saints would go, if they would go like offensive lineman, defensive end, or whatever, you know, at 13-31, and he's there at 44. I could definitely see that. But it's going to be interesting, and there's always going to be a couple of stunners in those first 10 picks. You just know it, Andrew. It just is, you know.
Yeah. If you could walk away with, you basically, if I could say, okay, you're getting four defensive players out of the first 5 picks, you know, and you're going to feel better about your defense. You're going to feel like The Saints went into the draft, and they did what they needed to do to bring in talent that's going to improve you on that side of the ball. Now, you've got one of those first five picks left, and I don't tell you where you're selecting this offensive player. Could be 13th overall, could be one of the third-round picks, but you only get one choice. You get either offensive lineman or you get playmaker, and you can only help Drew Brees one of two ways because the other four of the five picks are going defense.
Ooh, that's a hard one. You know what, Andrew? I'm going offensive line because I really feel like the Saints, if they can add a piece, whether it's Collins at 13 or it's another guy that they say they got the kid from Hobart at guard and he came in and they got him in the third round. If they add depth and make that line good again, I feel I'm confident that Sean Payton and Drew Brees will be okay on offense. History tells me that.
Yeah.
That they're going to be okay.
I mean, I think Sean Payton, when he traded away Jimmy Graham, I really think he said, look, we've won without Jimmy Graham already. And he believes in the system. And he believes that as long as he has an all-pro elite quarterback pulling the trigger behind center, that you can plug in any NFL quality level talent. It doesn't have to be elite, and the offense will be top five in the NFL.
And if they get Greg Jennings signed, you know, I think they're going to be okay as long as number nine is taking snaps, and you know, if they solidify that offensive line, I feel fine about their offense. I know the rest of the country won't, and they're going to be a trendy pick to bomb, but I just – my confidence in Sean Payton and Drew Brees is high enough to believe they'll be okay. So, Andrew, any final hardcore thoughts about the draft before we wrap this up? Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you're going to be players or anything that you want to get out before we wrap this
up? Yeah, I just – the thing I keep going back to is quarterback, and there's an uneasiness – in the pit of my stomach, and most of my thought process is telling me there's no way they're going to trade up for a quarterback. There's no way that they're going to take a quarterback in the second round. And so I'm hoping that that's true. But they did have a pre-draft interview with Winston, and I saw on NFL.com today, the NFL.com tweeted their latest mock draft for the site. And Mariota fell to 13 or 14, and so he kind of slid. And I'm just – part of me has this uneasy feeling that the Saints are either going to trade up for a quarterback and we're all going to be screaming, oh, my God, what are you doing? they take one in the second round, you know, where it's like, man, there were so many good defensive players we could have taken. And, yeah, we didn't, you know, get one of the top two guys, but – man, that would sting, because then it's like, well, that's great that you're getting who you think is your heir apparent to Drew Brees, but
I don't
we totally blew an opportunity to help.
I don't care about the heir apparent to Drew Brees. I really don't.
Well, it's not so much that. It's that I'm comfortable with McCown and Griffin. Like, I just think that situation for now is fine.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if Bryce Petty would plummet and he would be there, like, second pick in the third round or even the fourth round, like, and you really like him, okay, but like, no. So we'll see. I mean, this draft, I would say, Andrew, on the excitement scale, I haven't been as excited going into a draft since 2006 when they picked number two.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the one thing that gives me hope, Ralph, is I will say this. I mean, at least in terms of what's out there, this is by far the most visits, the most interviews, the most places that the head coach has personally gone to visit. Mm-hmm. He's gone out of his way. You know, they've sent Rob Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, God, they hosted Anthony Spencer, a guy they end up signing, without Sean Payton, without Mickey Loomis. They were both in Arizona at the time, and they let Rob Ryan meet with them. And I think the reason why is they're like, it's not that we don't want to meet the guy. It's not that we don't want him on our team. Clearly they did, because they signed him. But they were like, nope,
no.
We really need to do due diligence.
They
know draft.
And this is my final thought, and we'll get out of here. This is the most important draft in Saints history, because the Saints likely are never going to have as good a quarterback as Drew Brees ever again. So they've got to hit this draft. If they hit this draft, they could get 3 to 5 more years of being a contender and having a fun times, playoffs, maybe another Super Bowl, all of it. If they botch this, they could be in the abyss in 2 years if Drew Brees, God forbid, something happens. I mean, it's that critical.
It's a crossroads. Yeah. No, I agree with you, but I think if there's any hope here, it's that they get a guy that has a decent track record with talent evaluation in Ireland. Not a pristine one, but a decent one. And they've been doing their homework. They've been out there. They've been putting in the hard yards. And you just got to hope it pays off.
Yep. Well, all right, Andrew. It's going to be a fun time. So for Brian Pavlik of Saints Nation, for Andrew, this has been the draft extravaganza.